Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 9 through, just 9 and 10 today. 9 and 10. Matthew 6, 9 and 10. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Father, we just pray right now, knowing like the thief on the cross, when he said, remember me when you're coming to your kingdom. Father, we know you have a kingdom. And Father, we pray right now that your kingdom would come. And not only that your kingdom come, Father God, but thy will be done. Because if you do for the world what you've done for me, what a better place this world would be. Father, so we pray right now that your, not only that your king would come, but your will would be done on the south side of Youngstown, on the north side of Youngstown, in Boardman, in Austintown, in Liberty, in Hubbard, throughout this great world we live in, that your will would come. Father, thank you for everything. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God's radical will. That's this sermon series I've entitled God's Radical Reactions. And this is radical here, folks. Because when you think about folks praying, and some people say, well, it's the disciples' prayer. Mm-hmm. It's the disciples' prayer. Or is it the born-again believer's prayer? But think about it. I know some of you have a hard time going back, but think about when you was unsaved. Okay? Alright? What would you pray for? If somebody said, you, I'm going to answer one prayer for you. What would you pray for? Would you pray for peace on earth? The eradication of ISIS and all the gang violence and no more abortions and no more homosexuality. Would you pray for that? Would you pray for God's will on heaven and earth? No, no. No, we praying for money. I'm going to pray for money. I'm going to get the money first and then I'm going to pray for revenge. Some of us, you know what? I got some folks I need to take care of. I want some bad things to happen to this family. Then we might pray for good health. Okay? Then we pray for prosperity for our families. We want our kids all to grow up and find them good husbands and good wives. That would be our prayer as unsaved folks. As saved folks, we want to pray for salvation. We want to pray for salvation to come in our homes and in our families, in our communities, in our world. Imagine if salvation came in Syria and in Iraq and in the White House. What if God's salvation came?
Amen.
What a world we would live in. Wouldn't it be wonderful?
Yes.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven and on earth. Listen. What is God's will then for the believer? For the born again man or woman that know Jesus personally, that have been filled with the Spirit of God. What is God's will for you and I? Let's go through a few of them. I believe the first thing we would see as for God's will for us would be that we be sanctified with the Word of God. God wants His people to be sanctified. We sanctified because we saved. Okay? But the Word of God says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you. How? Richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. To the Lord. Okay? Choir ain't singing to me. They singing to the Lord. Okay? And if I'm right with the Lord, the song gonna be right with my heart. Because they singing to the Lord. Listen. Paul says this is, if you're a child of God and you want to know what God's will is, because I get the question all the time, Pastor, I don't know what God's will is for me. Well, I'm going to talk to you today about it. You'll leave here today, you'll know what God's will is for you. You might not like it all, but God's will ain't man's will. See, I know what the devil's will is for all you in here. His will is that you die and go to hell without ever hearing the gospel. Okay, he wants you, listen, Satan wants to entertain you. He wants to tickle your ears. He wants you to think you saved. He wants to trick you into thinking, listen, I know I'm saved. All these hats I got, all these suits I got, I know I'm saved. You ought to see me running around in the church. I got the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost, you get to receive the Holy Ghost. It's designed to give you the power to live righteously. Okay? That's the number one thing that the Holy Ghost is going to do. I got the power to live righteously. I got the power to do God's will. What is God's will for my life? Jesus said this himself. John 17. He said, sanctify them. He said, sanctify them, hallow, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You see, you need to be sanctified in the word of God. You need to be saturated in the word of God. Listen. You put a steak out. You cover it and marinate it with all the your whatever you put on it, your spices and herbs, and you let that thing sit. I learned a couple years ago, you don't want to put a steak on the grill cold. All right. You want to let it sit out, get room temperature. Let all that soak right in. See, this is what God is saying. Let the Word of God saturate you. Amen. See, if you're not getting enough, see, you're a couple grains of salt, a couple grains of pepper, that ain't gonna work for that pot roast or whatever you cook it. See, that's all we getting if we get that. See, Satan's job is to keep us so busy. See, some of us in here so busy. Yeah. Just this week, we've been so busy. Amen. We haven't had 15 minutes to sit and open up the Word of God. Just read. Yeah. We haven't had a minute of time to even get down on our knees and pray. Yeah. See, and when we like that, we are ill-equipped. Yeah. We can't fight the good fight. You go, we ain't got no fight in us. Okay, now Jake over there, he's a boxer. If he ain't running, he ain't training, he get in that room and the other fighter looking at him, look at the gut on him. And I'm going to hit him right there all day. You see, and many of us are ill-equipped for battle because we haven't trained. See, I use the acronym BUSY. Satan wants people busy. Busy, being under Satan's yoke. So busy, ain't got time to pray. Ain't got time to worship. Definitely don't got time to fellowship. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. How rich is it dwelling in you? Do you trust it? Have you really heard it in a way where you can understand it? See, a lot of the teaching today is so surfacey. You know, it's just feel-good messages. Listen. They didn't kill Jesus because he preached feel-good messages. Okay? They didn't kill all the apostles and send John to the island of Patmos because he was tickling their ears. See, they don't mess with compromisers. You stand for God's word, you're going to get attacked. See, and Paul knew that. And Paul, they cut his head off because he preached the gospel. And we don't want to hear it. Still don't want to hear it. Some folks don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. There are folks that just can't stand coming in the sanctuary. I don't want to hear it. Amen. Paul says this to the Ephesians. Got to have this. Paul said in Ephesians 1:13, he said, in whom you also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You know why we steal things? So stuff can't get in. We steal things so false teaching and evil and lying, all that, none of that could affect you when you steal. Amen. Once you seal something, it's done.
Amen.
See, some of us, we open to everything. That's why the church is evolving into something, because we're not sealed.
Amen.
We need ministers and deacons and preachers that sealed.
Amen.
That's sealed. Stevie Wonder used to have a song back in the day. He said, "Signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours. I'm yours." Have you been sealed? Or you just still open? That's fine if you are. You're in the right place, because you're going to hear the word of truth. You're going to hear God's word. I don't have nothing else to say. I'm a man of few words.
Amen.
Okay? If I ain't talking about the word of God, I really don't have nothing to talk about. And folks don't want to talk to me about the word of God, you know, other than Roy, we talk about the Browns. But that's just a little conversation. We hope it gets bigger. But right now, it's small. Small talk. God's will for believers born again is that they would learn to know and seek and delight in the things of God. That's a wonderful question. That's a wonderful question. Do you delight in the things of God? Now, the Bible is just full of this stuff. Do you delight in the things of God? Do you want to know more and more about it? Do you find yourself searching and searching the scriptures? Here's David in Psalms 40 and 8. He said, "I delight to do thy will. O my God, thy law is within my heart." Then he says in Psalm 143:10, "Teach me." He wanted to be taught, even though he knew the Lord, he knew there had to be some follow-up. Okay, on many of us on our job, we know our job, but you know, the boss will come and say, "I need to send you to training. You need to go to Columbus for a week, some workshops and some conferences. Because you need some more." And we take it from the world. But when God said, listen, David said, "Teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of righteousness." How about that? Do you want to be led to the land of righteousness? Do you want to be right with God?
Yes.
See, the believer who knows God, we know God wants him to be right with God. So when a lost world sees someone that's right with God, they'll want to be right with God. See, a lot of our problem with the world today, a lot of people ain't getting saved, a lot of people not coming to church, a lot of people are not serious about things of God, because they're not seeing it in action. See, the world needs to see some folks that have risen from the dead. See, they need to see some Lazarus walking around. Okay? They need to see some folks that have been risen from the dead. When last time you seen somebody risen from the dead? Well, you're looking at one now. You're looking at someone that was dead. Dead in trespass and sin, lying and cussing and just living foul and corrupt, didn't care nothing about the things of God, but he quickened me.
Amen.
And he filled me with his spirit, rose me up from the muck and the mire. And now folks see me now, there's a... I had a nickname back then, they used to call me Kip. I know somebody knew me when I was dead, they called me Kip. Kippy. "You know me for a long time, huh? You remember me when I was dead."
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. You know, they don't have nothing to talk to me about now. Once they found you saved, you got the real stuff.
Yeah.
See, we got a lot of folks that just got this man-pleasing faith. You know, they got this surface Christian. They man-pleasing. They Christians with man-looking. Oh, come on now. Paul talked about it in Ephesians 6. He talked about it. He said, listen, not what I service. Talking about the real Christians. Not what I service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ. Doing the will of God where? From the heart. From the heart. See, you know, this flesh is like a chameleon. This flesh can pretend to be all kind of stuff. Okay, you can get inside a little boot and turn it dark. Okay? And you can get it tanned up. You can paint it on. You can do all kind of stuff with the flesh. Put all kind of rouge on. And you can make the flesh look good. Okay? Ask L.E. Black or F.D. Mason. They can make, you know, they, I've seen them do some wonderful stuff to this flesh. But listen, once you're in that box, once you lay in here, listen, L.E. Black and Mason, none of these funeral homes can do nothing to the heart. They can't do nothing to the heart. See, and if your heart ain't right and you lay in here, that you can look good. Oh, they look good. Honey, they look good. Taking pictures now in the casket. Girl, he look good. She look good. How did her heart look? How did his heart look when he died? Was his heart right with God? Was he in good standing? Was he righteous? Was she righteous? Oh, let me tell you, everybody talk about heaven. Ain't going. Okay? So we see that we ought to delight in God. But here's a good one here. Here's one of the ones that I thought about long and hard. See, God's will for born-again believers is to be separate from the world. Separate, sanctified, yes, separate, divided on bad terms. That's another word for separate, on bad terms. Think about it. You know, you upset with somebody, y'all ain't speaking. Well, you in the world ought not be. You in the world ought to be on bad terms.
Amen.
Seriously, now why do you say that, Pastor? Help me. Listen, how many remember the Hatfields and the McCoys? Okay. They could stand each other. You know, think about Bloods and Crips. Think about it. You think you can get the white supremacist group and the Black Panthers to get together for a powwow? No, they ain't happening. You know, and working in prisons, one of the biggest problems you have. One of the biggest problems you have in a prison is when somebody kills somebody and they got another family member there. And so that's the boy that killed your peeps. That's the boy that killed your homie. Now you got a problem. So they can't stand each other. And they can't stand nobody in that person's family. But Jesus died. He died because of the sins of the world. And guess what? The church is cool with the world. Oh, I'm cool with the world. How can you be cool with the world that killed your Lord and Savior? Oh, no, this is... I don't understand that. I'm cool with the world. We rub shoulders with the world. Listen, but God commended his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, he died for our sin. Sin caused us, the world, because of its even unevenness and its hatefulness, caused our Savior to die. But we cool with the world. You know, we don't have a problem with the entertainment of the world. We don't have a problem. But the Word of God said we ought to be separate from the world. Let me help you. Here's Paul in Galatians 1 and 4. He said, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto all the churches in Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. Now we've been delivered from the world. But we act just like the world. And we want to bring the world into our homes, bring the world into our churches, bring the world into our families, and we don't have no problems. We don't have no problems. Well, we ought to be at odds. Now, I know we can't come out of the world, because we in the world. But let me tell you something. We ought to be in the world. We ought to leave a mark on the world. All these saved young people, we worry about what's wrong with the Youngstown public school system. We need some saved kids up in there. Yeah. Amen. I look at the school board meeting they had over the other day, and everybody I seen there, and they pulled their kids out of the public school. Everybody talking about what's wrong with the public school. Living Boardman and Canfield, and kids go to Youngstown Christian, and I'm sitting here like, Ain't nobody seeing this. I don't know, Pastor. You see too much. Sure do. I see a lot. I see a lot. Listen. Remember when the Israelites came out of Babylon? Babylon was a bad place. Let me tell you something. If you say you came out of Babylon. Okay, if you say you came out of Babylon. Okay? If you say you came out of Babylon, and in Isaiah, when they came out of Babylon, you know what they did? They brought their stuff. They brought their superstitions and their idolatries. They brought their way of living. They brought all their sexual sins and sexual misconduct. They brought it all from Babylon. And you know what? When Isaiah the prophet seen it, in Isaiah 52:11, look what he says. This is what he says. He said, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her and be clean, especially you that bear the vessels of the Lord. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of qualifications for the man of God. But but when we handling the word of God, handling the vessels of God, listen, let me tell you something. There's a responsibility greater for those in these positions. Pastors and preachers and ministers and deacons and those of us who handle the vessels of the Lord. Even just walking down the aisle. You handling the money trays. Those that are handling the microphones. Those that are counting the money. You know how to be holy. You ought to be holy. And there's nothing wrong with saying, I can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, there ain't nothing wrong with telling Minister Brian, I'm not the one to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm unclean.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it. You unclean, be you in the right place. You're going to hear the Word of God. The Word of God is designed to clean you up. But until you clean up, ain't nothing wrong with saying, you know, and he ain't going to come and tell me. He's not going to say, well, I asked so-and-so to pray, but they told me they was unclean. That's not going to happen. You just say, not this week. I'm working on something. Okay? I got some things going on in my world that God wouldn't approve of, and I'm working on it. Pray for me. See, a lot of times I hear from the Lord. God spoke to me. God's talking to me. God spoke to me. Let me tell you what. Here's an example of God speaking. God spoke to John. He said this in Revelation 18:14. John said this, he recorded. He said, I heard another voice from heaven.
Yeah.
See, there's a whole lot of voices. There's a whole lot of Jesus. Minister Brian, Minister Dave's foot Friday on what Jesus saved you. See? If you've been saved and it had no effect on you, probably wrong Jesus saved you.
Yeah.
See, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not her plagues.
Amen.
That's a heck of a voice.
Amen.
We don't hear that one often. We don't hear that one. All we hear is, you know, God told me. God said it. He meant it. God going to bless me. God going to do this. I believe 90% or probably 99% of God's answer to our prayers is no. Just we as God, I'm just going to table that. Listen, why I talk about this, Pastor? Why you talk about being separate? It's so important to be separate because you know, if you're a child of God, you're happy. You're full of joy.
Amen.
You know, and listen, when you was out in the world, when you was out there and you really received the Spirit of God in you, you got a joy unspeakable.
Amen.
You know, God gives us a joy that the world can't give us. And see, one reason I say that, I don't see a whole lot of walking dead. I mean, I see a whole lot of walking dead. I don't see a whole lot of folks that's been dead.
Amen.
I don't see a whole lot of Lazarus. Because there's a joy that comes with being a Christian. There's a joy that comes with being saved. There's a joy that comes with being filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, and the world can't take it away.
Amen.
Can't take it away. When the book of Psalms is written, Psalms 1, y'all know the Psalm. You know what? It says, blessed, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, the ungodly always got a word for you. The ungodly always got a word of counsel for you. They're always going to tell you something. You ain't got to listen to that word. That word don't mean nothing. Listen, the preachers in the church is crazy. That's the counsel of the world. It's always going to be against the things of God. It's always going to be against the people of God. So when somebody says, well, I can't stand the church, you can't stand me. Say, you can't stand me. If you don't like the church, you don't like me because I am the church. I am the church. So you don't, I can't stand going to church. Listen, you can't stand me. You hate the people of God. Because the people of God are the church. And if you really want to help them, show them how to live. Show them how to stand for the things of God. Show them how to live righteously. Show them how to handle adversity. Show them what's in your heart. Because the Word of God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, nor standing in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Save man and woman, but his delight is in the Lord. Delight is in the Lord. It's not in the LeBron, even though I'm a Cavs fan. It's not in Ohio State Buckeyes. It's not in who wins or the next president of the United States. It's not in that. His delight is in the law of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, you know, it's easy. See who loves the Lord and who don't. What do you delight in? What do you delight in? What gets your goose, as they used to say? I don't know. That came out of nowhere. What gets your goose? What gets you excited? What's your favorite website?
Uh-oh.
That was a question. All. What's your favorite website? Leave that alone. God's will for born again believers. Now I'm winding up. Is to remember. We are to remember what the Lord did for us. We ought to remember. It ought to be a constant that the Lord gave Himself for us. That ought to be a constant theme of what we do. We do it every month. Somehow I'm gonna read this because it get kind of. I didn't see it because we just get so haphazard with the scriptures. We get so casual with the scriptures. But listen to this. You hear it every month. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. That's just a picture of what God has done for us. How He gave Himself for us. Think about that. Think about this. We talk about marriages. You want to have a great marriage? You want to have a great marriage? I want to have a great marriage. I want to have a great marriage. I want folks to be able to look at it and say, it's a great marriage. Listen, husbands, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. They stop there. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. You can roll through this town. You can roll through this town and few pastors will preach that. Will say that. I'm serious about that. Now they put their pictures together when they had their pastor anniversary, pastor, first lady. Oh, let me tell you something. That's some serious stuff there. Because I had to think about that and I read that. I'm like, man, I gotta love her. She won't even bring me a cup of coffee in the morning. I'll be trying to get me a cup of coffee with Cindy in the morning. I said, Cindy, you hear me in the shower? Give me a cup of coffee. About twice a month. Those are two Fridays. Payday Fridays. No. I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
I ain't even looking that way. I'm going that way. Okay? Husbands, love your wives. Here we have a duty. That's a command. That's not a suggestion. Okay? That's not a suggestion. I don't care. Don't come to me with that. Well, you know, she won't. Listen. That's what's up. Man of God. Man of God. Well, she don't. She won't. She ain't. I'm just going by the book. I'm going by the book. That's all I can do. I see. Husbands, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. But listen, there's a second part to this that most people don't dig out. The church is the call to be obedient. So if the wife represents the church and the husband is the lover like Christ, then it's got to be a beautiful thing. It's got to be a beautiful thing. He gave himself for us. He gave himself for us. You know, do you understand that? Do you realize that? You know, I think about this verse here. How many remember back in the day, Patty Hearst was one of the richest women in the world. Her father was Randolph Hearst. Had all this money back in 1974. Some of y'all, before y'all's time, had to Google it. But they kidnapped her. Some kind of SLB, Liberation Army, and so they brainwashed her. Okay? See, and what's happening is the world has brainwashed the church. The world has brainwashed the people, and this is why God had to die. And this is why we ought to not be cool with the world, because, see, you keep messing around with the world, and messing around with the world, and sooner or later, the world got you. See? And we got to be careful with that stuff. And I know this ain't preached a whole lot, because, you know, we like the world. You know, we like the movies, and we like going to the places where the people of the world hang out at. But listen, let me tell you something. When you understand the Word of God, when you understand what God done for you, it ought to give you the power, the desire to want to separate yourself from it. Listen to what it says. Matthew 20 and 28. It says, even as the Son of Man, God in the flesh came not to be ministered to, but to minister. Here's the good part. And to give his life a ransom for many. So you was being held hostage. You was being held hostage. You was being held against your will. Christ died for you. And instead of you saying, thank you, Jesus, I don't ever want to mess with the world no more, we going right back. Like the prophet's like a dog returning to his vomit. We going right back. And not only that, we bringing it in. Let's be careful.
Amen.
Let's be careful.
Amen.
Listen, I was the commencement speaker at the graduation at the high school in Maslin this week, and they asked me to speak. How are you asking a preacher to speak at a commencement for the state? So I thought about it, and I thought about 1 Timothy 6:11, because our young people, I heard somebody praying today, the young people got so much to go through. Oh my goodness, y'all already dealing with it. I already hear my little one, little AJ. You know, there's a little boy at school, he thinks he's a girl, he be shaking his booty. I said, you don't be looking, do you? He said, no, Uncle Chief. Three F's. I want y'all to get these three F's. Before you leave here, I'm going to get this on the test. This on the test. 1 Timothy chapter 6. But thou, man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Listen, we need to flee some things. See, fleeing means to vanish, to vacate them. I mean, listen, I was down in Malibur Farm Day. I mean, out on the farm on Thursday, you know. Now, you know, you out there with Dave Dunleavy's people. And they like to be outside. So we outside, the brothers and these people was outside, and a little snake came out of the woods. My peoples. We got going. These people. That's a coarse illustration. I'll hear from it. My text will be blowed up tonight. But that's fine. My point is, as soon as we seen the snake, we got out of the building. Listen, folks, listen. It don't take long to realize you're dealing with a snake. Young people, listen. Some of y'all smart. Some of y'all smart. Y'all talking about I'm on the honor society and all that. Listen, no, get to know a snake. And if you see one, you need to flee. And then it says, the next F, follow. That word follow don't mean just follow anything. That word means pursue. Means you have to get after some things that's right. He said pursue righteousness. Righteousness is just going to come to you while you're laying around. You got to want to be right with God. And then you know what? Fight the good fight of faith. You're going to fight the rest of your days. Don't think because you come to the Lord, everything's going to be comfy. Everything's going to be nice. Everything's going to be comfy. You're going to fight. Amen. You in a war and you're fighting a real enemy. Mm-hmm. And he hates you. He hates your God. He hates your children. He hates your wife. He hates your marriage. He hates everything that's good. He do. Look at the last one. This is the last one. Seriously. God's people. Born again believers. What's the will of God? Now, you can't teach this without going to 1 Thessalonians 4:3. You just have to. And some folks say, well, Pastor, why are you going there? I have to because the Word of God goes there. It said that's 1 Thessalonians 4:3, talking about the will of God. He said, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Now, listen. People say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? Listen, abstain from fornication. If you're in a situation right now where you're fornicating, then you need to abstain from it and make that situation right. Get right with God. How do you get right with God? Oh, I'm a fornicator. Listen, she ought to want to marry you if you're fornicating with her. She ought to want to make it right. I'm talking about children of God. Okay? Now, if you're fornicating and you're happy fornicating, then stay fornicating. Okay? Just for saved folks that want to be right. Well, Pastor, how can I avoid fornication? I like talking to my young people. And some old ones. Fornication ain't just for young folks. We get old, we don't fornicate because we probably can't do it as much as we used to. Here's some easy steps. First thing we got to do, we're going to avoid fornication. We got to agree that it's wrong. Yes. It's just wrong. Who says it's wrong? God's word says it's wrong.
Amen.
Okay? Know ye not? Talking to the people of God. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Say, folks, born again, got the Spirit of God in you. That ain't your spirit. That's God's spirit. Okay? There's something called the earnest of the spirit. That spirit in you letting you know I'm going to heaven. And it's letting you know God coming back to get it. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Here's the key. Which are God's. God's. How about this? We want to avoid fornication. I want to avoid fornication. Watch the touches. Touching. Playing in folks' hair and touching and rubbing and poking. Young folks. Old folks. We got some old folks. I got 52 names on the wall out there that like to touch folks.
Be careful who you let touch you.
Okay?
Be careful who you're hugging on.
How about this one? Think of the consequences. Think of the consequences. Now, we had a whole lot. Listen, I'm just keeping it plain. But think of the consequences. I have to. Think of the consequences for me and for these men of God here. Think of the consequences. Minister Dave, Minister Jake, Jeremy, all I'm talking to the men. Deacon Johnson, Deacon Oliver, Deacon Columbus, all the men. Roy. Think of the consequences. Keep your life in front of you. Think of all I have to lose. Now, I'll put myself out there because I got a lot. I got you guys. I got my employer. I got my kids. I got my nieces. I got my nephews. I got all them folk watching Uncle Chief. And they have never seen, a lot of these young people have never seen a good marriage. They've never seen a faithful man that's faithful to his wife. They haven't. 80% of the homes of most African American kids are fatherless. Okay? So we have an example. We have an opportunity, rather, as men of God, to show a lost world and some lost young people what a good marriage consists of. And they ask you, well, listen, Uncle Chief, Uncle Madison, Uncle Dave, how did you do it? Mm-hmm. Word of God say, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Amen. Well, she old now. I heard young people tell me that. They said, you've been married over 30 years to the same woman? Don't that get old? Ain't you tired of her? That's they thinking. That's seeking thinking, but that's how our young people think. But is there a better feeling, men of God, to be at a restaurant or somewhere out in public with your wife of 15, 20, 30 years and your kids? Beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. Think of the consequences if you want to fornicate. Think of the consequences. Let me tell you something. Pray. 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 Why? Because we live in a world of temptation. Listen, I don't care how holy you is. Okay? You can wear that collar. You can wear that collar, preacher. You can preach that word. You can walk around a Bible big as Matthew's. Satan don't care about all that. His job is to kill, steal, and destroy. So, listen, the Word of God says in Luke 21 and 36, watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand, I like this part here, and to stand before the Son of Man.
Amen.
Whew, you're going to stand. See, don't let nobody fool you and think, well, when I die, it's all over. No, it ain't. The Word of God says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment, you can't judge nothing dead.
Amen.
God's going to wake your little butt up. All that embalming fluid and all the makeup that Ellie Black put on you, he gonna wake you up to judge you. That's just the Word of God. Pray. Watch ye stand fast in the faith. Quit like men, be strong. Quit like men means courage and patience is needed in this business. Peter put the best for all of us in here, men and women. Men and women, because see women going after you, women.
Amen.
Men going after men.
Amen.
It's coming from all over.
Amen.
Okay? Well, I'll go out to lunch with her because I don't want to go out to lunch with, you know, the boss. When you go out to lunch with her, she has the hots for you too.
Come on.
See what I'm saying? See what Peter said? Be sober.
Uh-huh.
Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion.
Yeah.
Walking about seeking whom he may devour. See, there used to be a time where you couldn't tell your co-worker, you know, things ain't right at home. You talk to a man, you talk to your co-worker.
Yeah.
And he put,
don't worry about it, babe. I got you covered.
Now you got a dude bringing you bagels and coffee. It's just a crazy world. And if you're going to survive, you got to pray. You got to be filled with the Spirit of God. You got to be prayed up. And if all that don't work, you got to do like Joseph. And just run. You just run. Just get out. Get out. That's the will of God. That's the will of God. And then when it's all said and done, 1 Thessalonians, Paul says this, he closes out 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, in everything, give thanks. Why, Paul? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, you, and me. Amen.
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 Amen. Now you know the will of God. You don't have to ask any more questions. Say, you know what, Pastor? Thank you. You made it clear. You need the will of God. You need the power of God working in your life. You need the power of God working in your life and in your home and in your marriage. You need to even be employed. It takes the power of God to employ you.
Amen.
Let's pray.